Now we're holding on page 132 in Rosh Hashanah, Ois Hey. We learned in the Mishnah that there are four different times during the year when the world is judged. We said on Pesach, Hashem judges the crops, and we talked about yesterday that when you have crops that are still growing, when you not crops in general, grain specifically, we said that when there's a crop of grain that's still growing Pesach time, then it means that there are two different judgments on it, one last year before it was planted, and one the current Pesach while it's still growing. Shavuos, we said, was Peiros Ha'ilan. Rosh Hashanah was in general the judgment for every individual in the world collectively, and Sukkos for rain, for water. So now the Gemara says, Mani mas nisin, which Tana then is our Mishnah like? Load of Meir, load of Yehuda, load of Yosi, load of Nasan. It seems that our Mishnah is not like any of the four Tanoim who argue in a Braisa about when the various judgments of Hashem, of people and of the world take place. The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Hakol nidonin b'Rosh Hashanah u'gzaudin shalahem nechtem yem kippurim divrei Rav Meir. Rav Meir says everyone is judged on Rosh Hashanah and the Gmar Din and the Gzaudin is signed and sealed on Yom Kippur. So according to him, there's no room during the rest of the year for other judgments on Pesach, on the grain, and so forth. Divrei Rav Meir. Rabbi Yehuda amar kol nidonin b'Rosh Hashanah u'gzaudin shalahem nechtem kol echad v'echad bizmanei. Rabbi Yehuda says everyone is judged on Rosh Hashanah, but the individual gzaudins are each one signed, each one in its time during the year. B'Pesach al tvua b'atzeres on Peiros Ha'ilan b'chag al ha'mayim. V'odim nidin b'Rosh Hashanah. A person then is judged on Rosh Hashanah u'gzaudin shalahem nechtem yom kippurim, and his gzaudin is signed on Yom Kippur. So it comes out, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that you can't really, if you're talking about the Chasima, then the Mishnah should have mentioned the three Yom Tovim plus Yom Kippur. And if you're talking about the Gzaudin, then again, there's only the one time on Rosh Hashanah. Continues the Braisa, Rabbi Yosi ema Adam Nidin b'chol yoim. Rabbi Yosi says that a person is judged every day. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, "Vatif gedenu livkorim," you make note of a person every morning. Every morning, Rav Nosson Omer Adam Nidin B'chol Shah, and Rav Nosson says a person is judged every moment. Shenemar, as that same pasuk continues in Iyov, Lurig Goyim Tibchanenu, you test him moment by moment. So according to Rav Yosi and Rav Nosson, then you don't have four different times during the year. Every day there's a judgment. Even according to Rav Yosi and even according to Rav Nosson, there's no question there's something special about Rosh Hashanah. We do say it is the Yom Adin. So we talked about actually in Masechta Beitza, which are there are a wide variety of different explanations among different Mefarshim, what exactly according to them is different on Rosh Hashanah than the rest of the year. And we talked about in particular what's brought in Kuntra Sumayan, that of course Eidur Divrei Elokim Chaim, and all of the above are true. In the sense, there's a general judgment for the year because Rosh Hashanah is the time of Malchus, at the time when Malchus is rebuilt, and that represents the whole. Seder Shtauschlos, the whole created existence comes through Hashem's Midah of Malchus, and every year that's rebuilt Rosh Hashanah. Therefore, and even Blow Shofar signifying that. So therefore, there's a judgment that takes place then. But then you have: is it going to remain up in Sfiras on Malchus, or is it going to come down here to Earth? That's the judgments that take place every day or every moment, as Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Nosson are describing. And then within that, also you have how it's going to come. That also the specifics how it's going to become. Those are judged on a daily or a momentary basis. And the Rebbe Rashab spends over there in Kuntra Samayin several chapters discussing all the ins and outs of that, and the relevance of it is, of course, that a person needs to know every day they have to be davening for their parnasa and be davening that what Hashem decided that he's going to have on Rosh Hashanah is going to actually come down l'mata ma'asara tefachim into his world as he experiences it. Anyway, so. On the face of it, though, none of these four opinions fit exactly with what it says in the Mishnah, that there's a din, that there's a judgment on each of these four times during the year. You're going to say that the Mishnah is according to Rabbi Yehuda, and you're going to say that the Mishnah is referring particularly to the Gzau din, so you're going to say, as Rabbi Yehuda said, that the judgment takes place on Rosh Hashanah, but the Gzau Din as far as grain is going to be on Pesach, and the Gzau Din as far as fruits is going to be on Shavuos and so forth. Then you have the question with a person where he says that the din takes place on Rosh Hashanah, the judgment takes place on Rosh Hashanah, but the gzar din is signed on Yom Kippur. Now he's saying the gzar din for fruit is on for grain is on Pesach and fruit on Shavuos and so forth. So then he should be listing. So then if the Mishnah was appointed to him, then it should mention Yom Kippur for people because that's when the gzar din for people takes place. So the answer is Omar Rava Hocha Hai Tana Tana Dveda Bishmol. The Tana of our Mishnah is, it's true, it's none of those four Tanoim, but rather our Mishnah is according to Tana Dveda Bishmol, the Tana Dveda Bishmol, as we learn in a Braisa from the Yeshiva of Rabbi Shmol, by Bor Prokim Olam Nidin, the world is judged at four different times during the year, by Pesach Al Tvor, by Tzara San Peres Eilon, by Chag Al Mayim, the three Yom Tovim that it mentioned in the Mishnah, by Odom Nidin by Rosh Hashanah, a person is judged on Rosh Hashanah, or Gzau Din Shalom Nechtim Yem Kippurim, the Gzau Din is signed and sealed on Yom Kippur, so therefore, V'chikatoni Masnis, and Atchilas Din. So when the Mishnah talks about the four times, it's talking about for each one of them, the beginning of the judgment. So not like Rabbi Yehuda had said that the judgment of a person takes place on Rosh Hashanah, and then the specifics as far as the grain is going to be sealed the following Pesach and for fruit the following Shavuos and so forth. But rather, Tanad Reb Shmuel is saying that each one of them, the beginning of the judgment takes place on the respective Yom Tov. So Hashem judges a person in Rosh Hashanah in general what he's going to have for the coming year, but then specifically on Pesach Hashem starts judging him. Well, how is it going to be as far as the fruits, as far as the grain, and on Shavuos Hashem starts judging how is it going to be as far as the fruits and so forth. So our Mishnah goes according to Tanad Veda Bishmal. Which as we discussed yesterday, you have now there are Rishonim that Ramban learns that. That nevertheless, the fact is, we have in the Tefillah of Rosh Hashanah, Va'alam Adinis Bo Ye'omer, Ezel Acherav Ve'ezel Shalom, that we say that everything in Zichronis, that everything is judged on Rosh Hashanah, so that Ramban learns that the author of that Tefillah, who was Rav, we call the Nusach. Now we're going to later on in the Masechta, it talks about the Barachas, Malchis, Zichronis, and Shofaris. Me'ikar Adin, all you need is the Psukim in each one of them, 10 Psukim for Malchis, 10 for Zichronis, and so forth, but then we have in the Machzor, we have a whole long Nusach that introduces each one of them. In the case of Malchus, it begins with Aleinu. In the case of Zichronis, it begins after Zohar, and Shofaris after Neglosa. All of those were composed by Rav, so therefore they're called Tkiyas Debei Rav. So that Ramban learns that Rav disagrees with our Mishnah and with his Tanit Veda Bishmal and says, more like what Rabbi Yehuda is saying, that everything is judged for a person on Rosh Hashanah. Or like the mayor, who also said the same thing. I call Nidonin Rosh Hashanah. On the other hand, as we talked about yesterday, Rabbi Natam says that maybe not necessarily there could be a difference between the judgment for the grain itself versus the judgment of what's going to happen during the year, not as far as the growing itself, but as far as other things that may happen, wars or other disasters, or what you find, for example, in the Toichacha, that a person eats and doesn't feel satisfied. So that kind of thing can be judged on Rosh Hashanah and not necessarily contradict what the Mishnah is saying about that judgments for certain specific things take place on these three Yom Tovim. In addition, Marsha brings it at length over here from the Ran that discusses then, what is so special about Rosh Hashanah that Hashem decided that that's the day of judgment? So the Ran discusses, first of all, according to Rabbi Eliezer, it's easy to understand because Rabbi Eliezer, as we learned earlier, holds that the world was created in Tishrei, meaning that Adam was created on Aleph Tishrei, Adam and Chava were created on Aleph Tishrei, and on that very day, the eighth and the eighth Adas, and Hashem judged them, and then had Rachmanos on them, and he only kicked them out of Gan Eden, but didn't actually cause them to die, even though it said in the Pasuk, Most Tomos. So therefore, every year Hashem set that date up as the day to judge the Jewish people and humanity in general, so that he should have the same Rachmanus on them again. Then the Ran goes on to say, okay, what about according to Rabbi Yeshua, that the world was created in Nisim? So first of all, he says, actually earlier when the Gemara had presented that whole machlokas of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, the Gemara ended up saying that actually that the Chachma Yisrael hold that when it comes to counting the marble, we do count like Rabbi Eliezer, and we say this is why Rashi on the Psukim in Parshas Noach, even though he brings to begin with both opinions, but afterwards the whole timeline that he brings is according to Rabbi Eliezer that it began on Yud Zayin Cheshvan and the rain stopped falling in Nisan and the Teva landed on Horei Ararat in Sivan and so on and so forth following Rabbi Eliezer. Because the Gemara says, "Lamaskana Chachmei Yisrael hold like Rabbi Eliezer as far as that, and only as far as the Tekufis do they hold like Rabbi Yeshua." that we begin the cycle of Tkufas from Nisan, according to Rabbi Yeshua, which is, by the way, why we have, when it comes to Birkas HaChama, that we do every 28 years. That depends on when the Tkufa takes place, and that's why we do Birkas HaChama in Nisan. If we went according to Rabbi Eliezer in that, we'd be doing Birkas HaChama once every 28 years in Tishrei. So according to the Maskona of Chachmei Yisrael, it's not such a problem why Rosh Hashanah is special, because it is the day that Adam was created, the Maskona, but according to Rabbi Yeshua, then the Ran deals with the question. So why, according to him, is Rosh Hashanah special? Why is that the Yom HaDin? And he ends up explaining, which Marshal brings excerpts from it over here, because after all, later on, when Hashem forgave the Jewish people for the Chet HaEgel and said, Salachti Kidvarecha, and gave Moshe the second Luchas, that was on Yom Kippur, and already that was beginning on Rosh Hashanah, and therefore Hashem set up from the beginning of that month is a month of Rachamim and Slichas. So even according to Rabbi Yeshua, that's not when Hashem first judged Adam and Chava, but it is when Hashem finally forgave the Jewish people for the Chet HaEgel, and therefore even according to him, that's the time of Din. Marsha mentions a drosha we can say on the pasuk in this. You have the pasuk in Tilum, "Mishpatecha amdu ayoyim ki akol avadecha." For your judgment, the day has stood because everybody's your servants. That means, in other words, that the pasuk is saying before that, the psukim before that, in Kapitel Kuf Yud Tes, talk about how Hashem created the world. The same day that you created the world, then that's the same day that you judged Adam and Chava, ki akol avadecha, because this is a simon for your for their descendants, for all of humanity, for all time, that everybody is going to be recognizing that they're avadecha and you're their melech and you're going to judge them. And of course, this is why we say Melech so often in the Tefillos of Rosh Hashanah. We know that throughout our Seres Me'etshuva, instead of Akela Kodesh, the Melech HaKodesh, HaMelech HaMishpat, and so forth, because during those days, that was stressing repeatedly the point about that Hashem is king, because that's the whole theme of those days. Okay, the Gemara says, Amar Rav Chista, my time at Rav Yossi. So Rav Chista says, why does Rav Yossi hold that Hashem is judging a person every day? The Gemara says, what do you mean, my time of the Rav Yossi? Kidakama, time of Vativ Kedonel of Gorim. He says a posik, that a posik from Eiv, where Eiv says about Hashem, you look in on a person every morning. So that's where Rav Yossi is getting it from. What's Rav Chista's question? The answer is, Anan Hochi Kamrinan. What Rav Chista's question is, Kirab Nosim, my time of Lekomar. Given that the same posik continues, and Rav Nosim quotes and learns from that Hashem checks into a person every moment, Lirgoyim Tivchanenu, then Kirab Nosim, my time of Lekomar, then why doesn't Rav Yossi agree with Rav Nosim? Why does he say that there's something more special about the mornings? And the answer is because he would say b'china yoni ba'almahi, because he would say l'rgoyim tifchanenu doesn't mean a full din. It just means Hashem checks in on a person, as opposed to he says tifkadenu implies a more serious judgment. So you want to ask p'kidinami yoni ba'almahi, why the word p'kida can also represent just a checking in on and not necessarily a full judgment. A full judgment would be mishpat or some word like that. So the question would still be, why Rabbi Yossi is Davka saying that Vativ Gedenu Levkorim means an actual judgment of a person that takes place every morning? Elo, Amar Rav Chista, time of the Rabbi Yossi Mehocha. Rather, Rabbi Yossi gets it from the following pasuk: Lasses Mishpat Abdu, Mishpat Ama Yisrael, Dvar Yoim B'Yoimer. The pasuk says Shlomer is asking Hashem that you should do the judgment of your servant, meaning of the king, of myself, and then the future kings after me, and the judgment of his people Yisrael, Dvar Yoim B'Yoimer, every single day. So therefore, Rabbi Yossi gets from that there's a judgment taking place every day.
You can do
it means that you can do tshuva for yesterday. That's one point of it, right? The point is, Marashah says, still, you do need also the pasuk to say, well, when during the day does it take place? If you only had the pasuk, okay, every day Hashem is judging a person, but what time of the day, we don't know. Since you have the pasuk from Eiv, it's true, by itself, that wouldn't be enough to tell us that it's a full judgment, because as the Gemara just said, that would be p'kida ba'alma, that would just mean like a remembrance, a checking in on, but because it says levkorim, and because we have dvar yoyim b'yoyim, where it's clear that there's something that happens every day, and we have the pasuk levkorim, therefore that tells us that judgment, dvar yoyim b'yoyim, takes place every day in the morning.
So then that's the second part of the pasuk.
So what? So because we said, l'rgoyim tivchanenu, he's saying there's only a b'china, that's not even really a judgment at all. That's only...
And that's only just in Yuni Ba'almu. That's only that Hashem is boichin klois v'leiv. Every moment Hashem is looking into and looking after what a person is thinking and doing and whatever, but not actually necessarily a full-fledged judgment. That takes... It's in Mechaper, yeah, so...
But when Kohen put it right away in the morning.
Okay. I don't know if necessarily, does the Kohen necessarily put the tzitz on in the morning? Could be. I don't know. I mean, not necessarily is the Kohen doing avoda every day. He might, but I don't know if that's necessarily the case. Okay, it's an interesting point, but I don't know. I mean, there it's also the zikoron is primarily that it's mechaper on things involving the korbanos when korbanos were brought for tumah, that it's mechaper for it. So it's not. I don't know if it necessarily relates that much, but maybe I don't know. There might be a certain relationship. Anyway, Marsha points out now you have a gemara in avodah zarah that says for that reason. And on Rosh Hashanah, a person says over there, a person should not be davening Musaf during the first 3 hours of the day, because that's the time, that's the primary time of din, and you want that Hashem should show rachmim to him. So the Gemara says over there, that Tzibur is different. That Tzibur, the Eibushter always has rachmim on, but a yochid was davening, a person who's davening b'yichidus on Rosh Hashanah, then he shouldn't daven Musaf during those first 3 hours. So that fits very well with what we're saying over here, that Hashem's judgment of a person takes place every morning. Rav Chista says another thing we can learn from that pasuk. Lasis mishpat avdei mishpat amei yisod vayoy vayomer melech betzibur melech nichnas tchilo ledim. When Hashem is going to be judging the king and also the people, then first the king goes in to be judged first by Hashem. Dichtiv lasis mishpat avdei v'hodem mishpat amei. That's the order in the pasuk. So the Gemara says my timer. Now why is that? One, you could say, because not derech eretz did, that the king should be sitting outside waiting for everybody else to be judged first. So it's only right that the king should get judged first and then he's dismissed. Another possibility is before Hashem's anger is provoked all the more so, meaning, in other words, you have, like this one, Hashem is judging the people. You may have among them, there are people who are not behaving the way they should, and the Eibishter is going to start getting angry on them, and then when he judges the king, so to speak, he's going to take it out on him, and that's going to be a problem, because after all, Lev HaMelech or Lev Kol Yisrael, and what happens to the king affects the entire Jewish people. Therefore, that's another good reason to judge the king first and get him out of the way while Hashem is still, so to speak, in a calm mood. Now, why do you actually need this? Now, this Gemara, this piece over here about Melech Nichnas Tchilo Ledin, this is actually the second time in this Masechta that it's being brought. Previously, the Gemara had brought it on Daf Ches in a different connection, and now the Gemara is bringing it again on Daf Ches Zayin. Why the Mechaber of Ein Yaakov didn't quote it the first time, I don't know. But anyway, Marsha says the connection of it over here is because what were we just saying? That we prove from the pasuk lasis mishpat avdei mishpat amei yisod vayom v'yom that Hashem, according to Rabbi Yossi, that Hashem judges a person every day. Now the question is, how do you know the word mishpat over there necessarily means a judgment? It could also be a rule, like you find kimishpoter asher horesa. We have in last week's parasha, Hashem tells Moshe to set up the mishkan according to its mishpat. It doesn't mean it's judgment. It means according to its blueprint, according to how it's supposed to be done. And we have other pasukim also where the word mishpat doesn't mean a judgment, but rather the proper order. Therefore, we need Rav Chista's other drasha to show that no, here the word mishpat means an actual judgment, and that it's putting the king first for the two reasons that we said, that the king needs to be judged before the people. And by the way, that also applies, the Gemara explains in Avodah Zarah, that also applies when Hashem is judging the Jewish people and the nations, that first he judges us and then them for the same reason, because it wouldn't be derech eretz dik that we should have to wait, and because if Hashem's anger is going to be provoked, then fine, by all means, let him take it out on the goyim. Okay. Now, so again, we have four different opinions over here about when Hashem judges and when he does the Gemar Din. And in particular, we have five different opinions, really. We have according to Rav Meir and Rabbi Yehuda and Tana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel, we say that there's really a judgment only once a year on Rosh Hashanah. And then we have according to Rabbi Yossi and Rav Nosson, there's a judgment taking place every day, or according to Rav Nosson, even every moment. So Omer Rabbi Yosef, Keman Matzlin and Ha'idnak, Tziri V'Amiri, which opinion do we follow nowadays when we daven for Tziri and Miri? Now, Tziri and Miri are both expressions that mean sick people. Rashi brings from a Gemara in Nedarim that Tziri means actual sick people, And Miri means people who are weak, namely Tamar Chachamim, who generally tend to be weaker, because the Torah weakens them, as we have in the famous story with Rish Lakish, that once he commits himself to learning Torah, he can't jump back across the river. And you have other examples of that. In general, you have the expression, the Zohar says, Tukfa de gufa chosha de neshmasa, and vice versa, the stronger the body, the weaker the neshama, and vice versa. Tamar Chacham, who's strengthening his neshama, then his body usually ends up being a little weaker, and he's more prone to getting sick. So therefore, so we daven on their behalf that they shouldn't get sick, and then Katsiri would be people who are actually sick. So Kaman Kirab Yosi, who are we following when we do that, would be Rab Yosi, that Odom Nidin B'chol Yoim, because according to Rab Meir and Rab Yehuda and Rabbi Shmuel, what do you mean? He's already judged on Rosh Hashanah. If it was already decided, Chas V'Shalom, that he's not going to make it through, then what good would it do to daven for him every day? Now, Tosfos wonders, the fact is, according to the mayor and Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Shmuel, the fact is we do. We have a bracha Rafa'enu, we have a bracha Baruch Aleinu, we have Rabbi Huda himself says that when you're being Mevaka Chola, you have to daven for him. So first Tosfos from Rabbeinu Tam says, brings from Rabbeinu Tam, there's a difference between davening that a person shouldn't get sick versus that he should recover. To daven that a person shouldn't get sick in the first place, that's what the Gemara is saying over here. It seems to be appropriate only according to Rabbi Yosi, because according to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, what good would it do? Hashem already decided, Rosh Hashanah, that the person is going to get sick. On the other hand, when it comes to him recovering, you never know. Hashem didn't necessarily decide when he's going to recover. Now, not everybody agrees to that, by the way. There is actually an explanation. When we say the expression in davening, v'chaloyim, actually it's from a pasuk, v'chaloyim roim b'nei monim, the Gemara elsewhere explains that it means that they're nei monim, that Hashem decides that they're going to leave at exactly a certain moment, and they follow that, the germs and whatever it is, that's the gashmistic cause of the illness, obey what Hashem says, and they leave or they die off or whatever at their proper time. But here Tosfos is saying, evidently not like that, not necessarily is it nigzer milamayla, when he's going to recover, and therefore that will depend on people's tefillos. When we're davening that people nowadays shouldn't get to, so when we daven for people who are already sick, and we say Mishaberach, and we say Tillim for them or whatever, everybody would agree that that's fine, even if the Gzau Din already took place on Rosh Hashanah. But as far as davening that they shouldn't get sick, that would only follow Rabbi Yosi. That's Tosfos's first answer. Then Tosfos's second answer is it's different when it's a Tefillah de Rabbi. The Gemara later on explains that a gzar din on the rabbim is easier to tear up. So therefore, when we daven Rafa'enu and Baruch Aleinu, then we're davening. It's a public tefillah that everybody is davening the same thing, and therefore that's fine. Even according to Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, that could be the kind of thing that Hashem is going to tear up the gzar din. And for that reason, also, when we make a bishabeirach and we say other tefillahs for cholim, we say b'soch shal cholim Yisrael, in order that it should be a tefillah for the rabbim, and then that way, as we're saying, the gzar din of the rabbim is much more easily ripped up, and even though the gzar din was already written and signed and sealed and put back on the shelf and everything, nevertheless, Hashem can rescind it for the rabbim. Then the Gemara continues. Another answer, you could say, la'olam karabanan. In fact, this that we daven throughout the year for people to recover or for people not to get sick in the first place. La'olam k'rabbanan, that could even work according to the mayor and Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shmuel, v'chid Rabbi Yitzchak, because it would work like the way Rabbi Yitzchak says, d'am Rabbi Yitzchak, yofet sa'ok la'odam, bein kodim gzar din, bein la'achim gzar din. It's always good for a person to cry out to Hashem, whether before the gzar din or after, even after the gzar din, a person's crying out to Hashem can cause Hashem to rip up that gzar din and so to speak, change his mind. This is what we talk about in Chassidus when we say Yehi Rotzen, means we're asking that there should be created, so to speak, a new Rotzen of the Eibishter to do differently. And so therefore, even Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shmuel, who say that the din took place on Rosh Hashanah and the Gzar din takes place on Yom Kippur, even they would say that you can still, with Sa'aka, can still override that. Of course, even if you feel you've been mevatel the Gzar din, you still need to keep on davening, yeah. And then there's sources that say, of course, you know, it's a well-known thing. No tefillah goes to waste. Even you have sometimes that you daven for a person and unfortunately he doesn't make it. Rahman al-Tzlan, nevertheless, the tefillah hasn't gone to waste. And Hashem uses it on behalf of somebody else who later on will recover as a result of that tefillah. So, yeah. Okay. The Gemara continues. Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishum Rabbi Akiva, Mipnei Ma Omra Torah Havi Omer BaPesach. Why does the Torah say to bring a Korban Omer on Pesach, which is made of barley? The reason is Mipnei Sha Pesach Zman Tvohu, because Pesach is when the grain is being judged, like we learned before. So Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu Akriv Lofanai Omer BaPesach. So Hashem is saying, offer me a korban omer of grain on Pesach, kadesh tisparach lachem tvor shabasodis. This way, the grain that's growing in the fields will be benched for it. And as we learned yesterday, it'll include the grain that's currently now growing in the fields, as well as the grain that's going to be planted the following planting season after Pesach.
Why not
chitos of Marsha brings over here the idea that we go, which is also brought in many places in Chassidus, is Darshan in many places in Chassidus, we go from Michael Behema to Michael Adam. We start with Sa'odim at the beginning, when we first left Mitzrayim, we were on the level of Behemoth. Then over the 49 days of Sfira, a person has to transform themselves into the level of Adam, and therefore on Shavuos we bring Chitim, we bring the Shtei Alechem, which is made out of wheat. We start out with barley. And Marsha points out over here, because you have Tzemeach, Chai, and Medaber. So the three things that we're talking about over here are Tzemeach depends on water, it depends on rain. Therefore, we have one of the three things that Hashem is judging the world for is water, representing the Tzemeach. Then you have the barley, representing the Chai, and then you have the wheat, representing the other. So Marsha is saying, of course, both barley and wheat are tzemeach, but they all depend on water. They all depend on rainwater or irrigation, as the case may be. And therefore, bringing nisuch hamayim and davening for water, for plentiful rainfall the coming year, Marsha says, connects with the tzemeach world. Then the barley corresponds to chai, because the barley is animal food, and the wheat, the fruits and the wheat of Shavuos correspond to the odom, correspond to the medaber in the world. So Pesach, we're doing barley then. Ben Yehoyada points out, in that case, then why doesn't Hashem say to bring a korban omer the first day of Pesach? But Pashtus, the judgment is taking place the first day of Pesach, no? And he says that first of all, Hashem will credit it. Hashem knowing in advance, of course, because Hashem knows the future, that they're going to bring the korban omer, can judge them favorably on the first day of Pesach, knowing that they're going to bring it. But in addition, he says, if we brought it the first day of Pesach, then it would look like we're doing it only for that purpose, only in order to influence Hashem's judgment. So Hashem wants us to demonstrate that we're doing it l'shem shamayim. We're doing it from our point of view, we would think, well, the judgment's already been done. It's too late to affect it. And nevertheless, we go bring the korban because Hashem said to bring it, and therefore that counts to our credit. Next, he continues, and we're named Ma Omra Torah Hovil Shtei Alechem Batzeres. Why is the Torah to say to bring the Shtei Alechem of the which is made out of wheat on Shavuos, Kadesh Yisbarach, Alechem Peres Shavailan, in order that the fruit of the trees will be benched for you? What does wheat have to do with the fruit of the tree? So like we talked about yesterday, Rashi over here brings two things. First of all, you can't bring Bikurim before Shavuos. The halacha is you can't bring Bikurim before Shavuos, and Bikurim come from Shivas Aminim, five of which are fruits. So therefore, when you bring the Shtei Alechem, and that officially makes it, now the Bikurim bringing season has begun, then therefore it brings about a bracha for the Peres Ha'ilan, which includes the Peres that are brought as Bikurim. Second of all, Rashi says we have Rabbi Yehuda himself says in Brachas in Sanhedrin, you have Machlokas over there, what the Eitz Hadas was, and you have an opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that it was wheat, and he brings the proof over there because a child doesn't know how to say Tati and Mommy, to say Abba V'ima until he tastes grain, and in the same way, since it was the Eitz Hadas, then it means they developed Das through eating it, and therefore it has to be wheat. So therefore, before the Chet Eitz Hadas, it was actually wheat, actually grew on a tree, and the Gemara mentions in Ksubas, so it'll be that way, also Lava as well, and therefore bringing wheat represents the fruits of the trees. Why does Hashem say to pour water in front of him on the Mizbeach on Sukkot, as we learned in Masechta Sukkah? Because Sukkot is the time when the rainy season for the year is beginning. So Hashem says, pour water as a libation for me on Sukkot, Kadesh Yisbarach Lachem Gishmei Shana, so that the rains for the year will be blessed. So each one of these korbanos is meant to affect Hashem's judgment on that respective thing. In fact, there are Rishonim who learn how Taka did the Chachamim know? How are they supposed to know that Hashem is judging that Hashem is judging each of these individual things on these Yom Tovim? It's precisely by this kind of analysis, because Hashem told us to bring a korban of barley on Pesach, that allows us to derive the fact there must be something going on Lamaila involving barley and involving grain at that time, and therefore that means that's when Hashem is judging the grain, and similarly with the other ones. And continues Rabbi Yehuda, V'omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu Imru L'fanei Malchus Zichronis V'Shoifres B'Rosh Hashanah. Furthermore, Hashem says, say before me the Pesukim of Malchus Zichronis and Shoifres and Rosh Hashanah. Malchus Kadesh Tamlichuni Aleichem. You say the Pesukim of Malchus so that you should accept me and crown me as king over you, because like we said, that is the whole theme of Rosh Hashanah, is that Malchus is being rebuilt, and Hashem, you have the whole concept that it talks about in the Zohar, and which is discussed in many, many Maimorim of Rosh Hashanah, that every year you have, so to speak, Hashem is saying, do I want to be king over the world for the next year? It's election season, so to speak. Do I want to run again for office and be elected? And then we blow shofar, showing that we want to accept Hashem as king. And then Hashem sits on the Kisei Rachmim, and you have Malchus for another year. So that's Malchus. Zichronis Kadesh Tova Zichronechem Lafanei L'Tova. We say Zichronis, Hashem said, so that your remembrance should come before me favorably. Uvameh, and how will that happen? B'shofar, with the shofar, because you have many different things that the shofar represents, many different aspects of the relationship between Hashem and us that it represents. Famously, Rav Sadia Gaon gives 10 reasons why we blow shofar, or many of them are meant to evoke different things about the relationship between Hashem and us. It reminds Hashem, so to speak, of Akedas Yitzchak, as the Gemara is going to point out in a second. It reminds Hashem of how we accepted the Torah by Matan Torah, where there was a shofar blowing. It reminds that we're crowning Hashem, and you blow trumpets when a king is coronated, and so on and so forth. And then, of course, you have many others. You have the famous vote from the Baal Shem Tov that's a koil poshut. It's like we can't even give out words. We're just giving a gishrei, and the Eibishter hears that, and that has an effect on him, like when a father hears his son crying out, and so on and so forth. So all of that evokes the Malchus and the Zichronis. So therefore, we say Pesukim of Shofaris as well. Does Hashem have to be reminded? Of course not. But we told on one level, Dibra Torah Koloshin Re'adam, but on another level, the point is that it means that there is something that can be described the Maila as Zechira, of which our concept of remembering is a pale limitation of it, and that is evoked by our avoda and by the blowing of the shofar, as you have. You have thousands of pages of Chassidus that discuss the ins and outs of exactly how that happens, but that's the idea. In other words, is we're accessing levels of a lakus far beyond Seder Shtalshalos, far beyond everything through this curl poshert.
Interesting to see the Lashon, the Gemara first, it's Omar Teira, and then Omar Kadish Rochel.
It's true. I guess the difference...
Kadish and the Kadish Rochel, the Torah didn't say, Yemishtah will not say.
Right, I guess that's true. it's true. Only by the Omer does it say Omra Torah. Yeah. Actually, he says Omra Torah by the Omer. The difference, I guess, is very simple. The Korban Omer and the Shtei Alechem, it says in Torah Shebichsav. So you can say on them Omra Torah. The other two things, the Nisuch HaMayim is Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. It's not written in Torah Shebichsav. And Malchi Sechronis and Shofaris, later in the Masechta, the Gemara brings Pesukim that represent that we say those things, but really the Gemara says over there they're basically only on smachta. The concept of saying those psukim is really is not d'oraisa. Which, by the way, it's a good thing you mentioned that, because actually the Ritzvah here points out a very basic yisoid. He says, as far as when we talk about an asmachta in general, so we used to. No, it's not an asmachta, but it's a halach l'moshe misinai. But therefore, we can't say on an omra Torah because not in Torah Shemachsav. That's still kidding, because they didn't hold it. Torah Shabbat Peh, which includes Halacha Moshe Misinai. Anyway, the Ritzvah gives over here a very basic yesod. Usually we talk, all over Shas, we talk about a concept of an asmachta. We'll say that something is derabbanan or kras smachta ba'alma, and the pasuk is only an asmachta. So usually we understand that what it means is the Chachamim came up with the idea on their own, and then they looked for a pasuk and they found a pasuk that somehow gives a vague hint to it, and that's an asmachta. The Ritzvah says, no, that's not what an asmachta is. What it is there are certain things Hashem wanted that we should do certain things. But for whatever reason, for reasons known only to Hashem, he decided not to put that in the Torah or in Torah Shebichsav or in Halacha Moshe Misena, whatever, as an absolute chiyuv for us. So he put that pasuk in the Torah and left it up to the Chachamim. If they decide that they want to make this takana or they want to make this zera or whatever, then they have that pasuk as a basis for it. So here Hashem wants, as the Gemara is saying over here, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Hashem is saying, say Malchus, Sechonus, and Shofarus, which means the Ritva is saying that Hashem put in the Psukim, in the Torah, those words, the words that represent, that we have to say Malchus, and Sechonus, and Shofarus, but Hashem did not, when he gave the Torah to Moshe, he did not tell him, you should know, on Rosh Hashanah, tell the Jewish people, just like they have a mitzvah of blowing shofar, they have a mitzvah of saying those psukim. No, Hashem left it up to the Chachmei Adoris, which could be beginning even from Moshe himself, to decide that that's the appropriate thing to do, and then they can use these psukim as a basis for that, and therefore it's correct to say on that, Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara continues, Omer HaBahu, Lama Toikin B'Shofar Shal Ayil. Why do we blow with a shofar?
According to
the Ritva, the vote is an asmachta is Hashem is hinting in the pasuk. There is something that I would like you to do, but I'm not going to impose it on you as an obligation. If the Chachamim decide that it's appropriate to do, then I am leaving this as a hint in the pasuk to tell them that it's the appropriate thing to do. I'll tell you have. In fact, so no, an asmachta that you're talking about, no. An asmachta you're talking about as far as dini mominus is something else. That's where a person is taking an obligation on himself, which is not a solid obligation. It depends on certain factors, on certain things that are going to happen. They both come from the same shodesh. They both come from the shodesh somach. But an asmachta, as in a source for a din d'rabbanon, is that the chachamim are relying on that. And an asmachta, as far as dinim mominus, is the person is relying on that this is not going to happen, and therefore I'm not going to have to pay that money. So they're both dependent. They both mean relying on a different kind of reliance. Anyway, Omer Ababohu, Lama Token B'Shofar Shal Ayil. Why do we blow with a shofar made of a ram's horn? Now, later on in the Masechta, it talks about that in principle you can use almost any horn from a kosher animal. Except it has to be hollow. It can't be from a cow. There are certain rules, but basically you could use from many different animals. However, here we're talking, for one thing, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that the only valid one to use on Rosh Hashanah is in fact from a ram. And even if not, the Ran points out the fact is the common minhag is to use one from a ram, and therefore the Gemara can be asking about that. Even if technically you can use other ones. This is one of those interesting rare examples, by the way. Usually we have, we know that the Teimonim usually follow, at least certain groups of Teimonim follow the Rambam almost exclusively. Unlike most other groups of Jews, where we follow Rambam sometimes, but we follow other Rishonim as well, the certain groups of Teimonim, many groups of Teimonim, follow the Rambam almost exclusively. This is one of those rare examples where they don't. The Rambam brings the halacha that the only valid shofar is one of a ram, but you have the Yemenites famously use a shofar from a kudu, those 6-foot-long shofars that you find. So, that's a rare example where they don't follow the Rambam. Anyway, but Rabbi Bohu is saying, why do we use a shofar shal ayil? Because Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, tikul lefanim, v'shofar shal ayil, Hashem is saying, blow in front of me on Rosh Hashanah with a shofar made from a ram's horn, k'desh ezkel v'cham akedas Yitzchak ben Avraham, so that I should remember on your behalf the akedah of Yitzchak ben Avraham, which where a ram was substituted for him, u'male ani aleichem kilo akadtem atzmecham lefanai, and I will consider it on your behalf, I'll consider it to your credit, as though you were willing to bind yourselves on the Mizbeach, as we know famously that Yitzchak tells Avraham, bind me so I don't accidentally jerk or flinch and pass all the korban. So not only he was ready to go on Mesiras Nefesh, but he's even volunteering to be tied up for the purpose, total Mesiras Nefesh. So therefore Hashem is saying, you blow a shofar of a ram, and that will evoke that remembrance, Lamaila, so to speak. And then therefore that Hashem will have Rachmanus on us, realizing that we're ready to go on the same kind of Mesiras Nefesh.
When was the Akedah?
So you have different opinions, actually, whether it was Yom Kippur or whether it was Pesach. There are different opinions, I think. But whatever the case, we blow with a shofar shal ayil. And again, that's one of the 10 reasons why we blow that Reb Sadia Gaon brings. Why we blow shofar is, as the Gemara is saying over here, to remember Akedah Yitzchak. The Aruch HaNer points out, why do we have to say Yitzchak ben Avraham? We know whose son Yitzchak was. And he says, because after all, both of them went through a Nisoyin over here. It was a Nisoyin for Avraham. It was a Nisoyin more primarily for Avraham, but Kim Nisar as Avraham. So therefore, we mention both of them, meaning that that blow in the shofar evokes the schos of both of them, especially we need the schos of Avraham because he's chesed, where Yitzchak is gvura, and therefore we want to evoke more the schos of Avraham, and that's why the Gemara mentions that point. Yom Yom Mashiach Ogola, Yud Beis Adar Aleph. The Gemara tells us at the end of Sota, you have all the simonim it says over there, but Ikva Sidim Mashiach, and you have an expression there. The Mishnah says, "B'chol Yom Yom Meruba Kilo Losim Mishoch Haveira." Every day's curse is going to be worse than the previous day. Now, we have to ask, the Rebbe points out, Nesicha, so why does the Torah want to tell us in advance that we're going to have such an unwanted situation that's going to be an Ikva Sidim Mashiach? We have Tzara already for the Tzair that we have of all the untoward things that are happening already, and we still need to be Mitzair at Yid and tell him that there's going to be more troubles coming in the future. Al Derech, like Moshe says to Hashem, why are you saying Ekia, Asher Ekia, Dayo Tzara B'Shaita? So the purpose of it is, the Rebbe explains, no, what the Torah wants to do with that is a hurrah and a commandment for every yid to work to counteract that. You know there's going to be this kilos in Meruba Mashiach HaBeira, right? So on the contrary, increase in matters of Kedusha, so that way you won't have kilos in Meruba Mashiach HaBeira, you won't have a descent from day to day. On the contrary, you'll have an ascent from day to day. Continuing on halachas of Shabbos, we started talking about yesterday that you can't put something on a hot stove where it's going to get yadsu lettuce, right? So you have a similar kind of thing when you have, for example, a kugel that has fat in it. So you have the same kind of problem. If it's ein bishul acha bishul b'dover yavish, but the oil or the fat grease in it or whatever is going to melt, and therefore, so even you want to warm it up, then you have a problem. If it's only just gonna defrost a bit and not get warm at all, then you would be allowed. Although even then, the Alter Rebbe says that actually in the Chatchila people are noyig to be machmir, but b'dieved or b'makom atzorach it's mutter. As far as putting it into the oven, that you can't put anything cold into the oven to warm up, even though it's impossible for it to get hot over there. If you have a tzas chola, then you ask a shailas kocham, then you ask a rov what to do. Some people have the minhag, like this, you have food that you insulated, that you put in the oven before Shabbos, and you kept it over there, and then it's still hot, and some people put it back, and you have also, for example, a cholent pot, for example, you hold on to the cholent pot, and then afterwards you put it back into the ceramic thing. If it's completely cold, then it's osir. A bal nefesh should be machmur in any case, and the Alter Rebbe says that it would be osir, it's not even a bal nefesh, it's actually osir to put something back into the oven. So with the cholent, it's something else, where you're taking out the pot and then putting that in there, it's not inside the oven, there you have it's atmana in the ceramic thing. That's different, but here we're talking about to put it into an oven would tackle be a problem even if it's not cooled off and even if it's not going to warm up at all.